This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Rest. Some time at home. Some good practices. Will this spark the Flames? Nope. Not so much. Welcome to Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. Episode number 14. Recorded November 13th, 2019. Just as the Calgary Flames get off the ice at the Saddle Dome with a 3-1 loss to the Dallas Stars. We talked about it all week. Some time off, a little break in the schedule, which would have been hard, fast-paced for the Flames. It was a tough October schedule. Was some time for practice. A time for a mind reset. The players needed it. Hell, I needed it. It was a rough October, and I'm not even on the ice. I'm just following the team every day, talking a little hockey twice a week with you. You know, tonight's loss is disappointing. And what lies ahead is a more balanced schedule, travel-wise, but it's a tough task. Now Calgary goes on the road for a weekend back-to-back road trip. Arizona on Saturday, Vegas on Sunday. Home for Colorado, and then back on the road to St. Louis. Those are some tough matchups. Four big, tough games in the week ahead. Three of them Pacific Division. Now's when points are critical. Got a great show for you today. We're going to talk a little bit of... Well, first we're going to recap the Dallas game. Then we have a great interview with Richie Flores and Corey Crenshaw. They have a podcast called Sporty with Corey and Richie. They cover the Arizona Coyotes for the Hockey Podcast Network, and we're happy to have them on the show today. Then we're going to roll into some Stockton Heat news, some Flames news, a great fan question, and just a whole bunch of Calgary Flames talk. Tonight was a little disappointing. No offense. That was the response after a break. No offense. No star power. Bad pinches. Even our goalies hung out to dry. This keeps happening in Calgary. The fact of the matter is you will not win when your best guys aren't your best guys. Period. It just won't happen.
Every team, everywhere. The Hockey Podcast Network.
Hey, the Hockey Podcast Network. We're proud to be part of that great, amazing group. We have hockey podcasts from all 31 teams twice a week. Check out the Hockey Podcast Network. And they're also proud to announce former NHL player Terry Ryan. You've heard him on Spittin' Chicklets. He is an amazing, amazing entertainer with tons and tons of stories from his career in the National Hockey League. Has joined the network, and he'll have a show coming out very soon called Tales with TR, a hockey podcast. Make sure you check that one out on the Hockey Podcast Network. All right, let's recap this Dallas Stars game. Now, turn that down, you can actually hear me, huh? Oh, boy, it's kind of one of those nights. Frustrated after this loss. Probably shouldn't record right after a loss. Probably not good. I usually get a little fired up. You know what? I don't usually get fired up because of a loss. I get fired up by things I see during the loss. So let's recap this one. First period starts out. Mangiapane with a big chance to start the game. Doesn't put it in, and it was, I'm talking grade A chance. Things look good. End of the first period, 0-0. Shots even. I believe they were 8-8. Pretty decent first period for the Flames. I wasn't upset at all. I thought Talbot looked really good. The third period, drop of the puck. Back-to-back rushes for both teams. Calgary has one, followed by Dallas. It's wide open for the first minute of play. Neither team scores. It was exciting. Pavelski does score for Dallas to make it 1-0 midway through the period. Another thing we saw in the second period was that the 3M line was put back together late in the second. Mahjiapane all night, I didn't think he was clicking with the line. And evidently Peters saw the same thing, put them back together. More on that later in the show. The third period starts. Calgary gets a 3-on-1. Backlund misses a wide open net. Something you just don't see Backlund do very often. That play is followed by a horrible pinch by Gio where he blows a tire. 2-on-1 back the other way for Dallas. Goal. 2-0 Dallas. Those are the heartbreakers. Those are the plays that change everything. The whole complexion of the game changed. Missed an opportunity on a 3-on-1. It rolls back on you, and it's game over. Now, Calgary fought back later in the third, looked a little better in the third, had some more scoring opportunities. Gaudreau gets high-sticked. And I'm not going to lie, guys. I'm not. Calgary goes on a four-minute power play. Monahan scores in the power play. It's 2-1. And all I'm thinking is, man, if Calgary ties it up on this power play, Gaudreau's best play of the year is going to be getting high-sticked in the mouth. Ugh, that's terrible to say. Terrible to say. Then late in the game, well, it's still 2-1. Goalie pulled. Anderson cutting across the blue line gets one arm dragged down by Dickinson. No call. Yes, Flames fans, the Weidman factor still exists. No call. I have no idea how this doesn't get called. And I've made a vow to tone down my complaining about referees, but this was a flat-out missed call that cannot happen at this point in the game. Cannot happen. Seconds later, puck goes down. Pavelski, 3-1, empty netter. Game over. Talbot finishes the game with 29 saves. I thought he was really good tonight. I thought he got hung out to dry, just like Riddick has. No offensive support. No offensive support. Hopefully Calgary can figure this one out. Get back at it, because Arizona is not going to be an easy task. Arizona is a good hockey team, and I feel like tonight, against a Dallas team that I know has been a lot better lately, Calgary needed to get some points on this one. They needed to win this game at home, coming off of a long break. Didn't happen. On to Arizona.
Inside Edge Hockey News. Bringing you inside the game.
Now we'd like to welcome to the show Corey Crenshaw and Richie Flores. Great podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network called Sporting with Corey and Richie. Now they cover the Arizona Coyotes for the Hockey Podcast Network. Do a great job. Have a great podcast. Comes out twice a week. Super happy to have them on the show.
Well, I really appreciate you guys joining me here on the show. First question, I guess we'll get started right away. And the Coyotes, I open up the standings today and I find you guys in second place in the Pacific, 24 points, just two back of first place Edmonton. Definitely the start to the season you guys were looking for. Was this expected?
I think we were all basically hoping for it this season. As soon as Kessel came in, there was a lot of hype and we were very nervous that the team was going to be able to live up to the hype that Kessel had brought. And it's funny because we always kind of said that he was going to bring up all the people on his line, but he's kind of brought up the whole team with him. He hasn't really performed like everyone expected him to be, but the team rose to the challenge.
What were your did you expect him to come in and be a top goal scorer for you guys? Or, I mean, were you a little leery and wondering what kind of Phil Kessel you were going to get? Because that was my first thought. It's like, I wonder how motivated he'll be.
I mean, I expected him to come in. I know Corey and I, you know, you and I talked about this prior to the season on our show, and I kind of set the bar. I mean, I'm not expecting him to come in and be a point per game player like he was in Pittsburgh. I was expecting him to come in and still, you know, put up around like, you know, in that 60 to 70 point range. And I think he's still essentially on pace for maybe a little bit less than that. I think he's got 10 points, 11 or 12 points right now. So he'd probably be on pace for closer to 50. Right now, but at some point, I think he's going to pick up the pace. And, like, part of it for him is he's still getting shots away. He's still looks like Phil Kessel in the offensive zone, but I think he's yet to put it all together in terms of getting a better, you know, his shooting percentage will go up eventually. I was looking at his PDO the other day, and his PDO is like 95. And that's not good. So, you know, he has a lot more to give this team, especially on the power play where they've struggled a lot. And Brad, you know that watching the last time the Coyotes played the Flames there in Calgary, Coyotes went 0 for 5 on the power play, and it cost them the game pretty much, that and the fact that they took 6 penalties as well. So, I mean, like I said, there's some criticism being levied at Phil Kessel this year, and I don't think he deserves it. I think he's been a great addition to this team.
Yeah, you know, I think he has too. I mean, he's kind of one of those guys that no matter what, I don't know that he's going to live up to what some of the fans have, but I think, you know, like you said, he's brought the other players up. And, you know, you look at your guys' top scorers now, and you see some names that I guess I didn't expect to see up towards the top, and you're getting a little bit more depth, and that's definitely helped you out. And do you think that we can finally say that Arizona's kind of got over that hump where we can talk about them now for the next 5 years as a team that'll contend for the playoffs?
Lord, I hope so. I mean, this has been a long time coming, and this team has been called the young team for so long that they've been really gunning to be at the point where they're a team that is not just, you know, sitting down way down here in the desert. It's a team that's contending and is just as good as any East Coast or Canadian team. And I think that this has been a long time coming for them, and I sure hope that this is their run that they've been looking for quite a while.
Well, you know, you look at your past couple games and you've knocked off the two most recent Stanley Cup champions, albeit both of them in overtime, but there's still 4 points you gained over Washington and St. Louis. This has got to be a real high point for the Coyotes right now.
Yeah, and it's coming off a stretch where where they lost at home to two of the bottom five teams in the league in Columbus and Minnesota. Columbus came in, I think they had a 5-game losing streak, or they were like 0-5-1 in their last 6 games before they came to town. And the Coyotes blew a third period lead in that game, lost. And then they did the same thing against the Minnesota Wild, where they had a 2-goal third period lead, blew that, and lost that game. And so, like, coming into this week, I think Corey and I were, I think both of us were kind of expecting something along the lines of, in this 3-game stretch between the two cup champions from the last 2 years and then Minnesota, who the Coyotes are playing on Thursday, I think it was something where I was expecting them to get like 2 points out of the 6, and I'd be happy with that. But I mean, and Rick Tocchet, you know, talked about this after the game against St. Louis. He was basically, that was scratching and clawing. That is, we played rope-a-dope. We beat two of the best teams in the league, and I'm proud of the guys for how they played. And man, yeah, I think that those were probably the two biggest wins of the season, considering the fact too that I think the Coyotes got outplayed in both games, and they still managed to get 2 points from, or four points out of 4 points in those two games on the road.
And they also didn't land and get off the plane until 3 a.m. Just to put that in there too.
And that is a factor. You know, I think, you know, as Calgary's being a Western team too, we forget, you know, like some of those travel things that they have to go through that a lot of the Eastern teams don't. And that weighs on your team as the season goes along. Your team right now has got a goals against at 2.42, which ranks them second in the National Hockey League. Talk to us a little bit about how important that stat is for your success that you've had this year thus far.
I think that stat, along with the fact that Kemper and Ranta are just playing so well and are playing really great tandemly, and that's something that's very rare in the NHL in general. So I think the fact that they were able to keep both of them and Ranta's able to stay healthy, which is very rare for him as well, is such a big deal. And I think the fact that they both are able to basically stand on their heads this whole season and pull us, the Coyotes, out of games. Kemper really kind of blew it in the game against the Wild. That was the first time we'd really kind of seen him not be able to focus and get into the issues of basically being against his old team, and it was really actually getting into his head. And you could see him spending more time chirping the other players that were coming at him instead of focusing on the game. So I think really it's a big deal, because in those, say, previously 2 games, it was goaltending that keeps them in those games. And especially now that there's been multiple D injuries, The defense has been slacking a little bit, so them being able to be as strong as they are and keep that stat really low is really helpful for the team overall.
How are you guys looking at your goaltending? Obviously, both guys have been successful this year. Are you looking at more as a 1A, 1B, or do you see Kemper taking over the starting position? Or how do you guys view the goaltending situation in Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, this was the biggest – Corey, I think you would agree with me on this. This was the biggest question mark headed into the season. And for the most part, I think, granted, they are still a tandem, but if you just look at how much each goalie has played, Darcy Kemper, 13 starts, Ronta, 6 starts. I think Darcy Kemper has cemented himself as the number one goaltender on this team right now. He's, again, 1.99 goals against, 931 save percentage. He's having a better season than he was last year, if you can believe that. I think he is, Darcy Kemper right now, probably the front runner for the Vezina Trophy right now. And granted, you know, Antti Raanta is still, I don't think you would consider Antti Raanta a backup necessarily, because he's better than that. But I think for sure it's Kemper's job to lose. Like Kemper's the guy. He's getting 60% of the starts for a reason.
Yeah. And it's kind of the same in Calgary right now with Riddick kind of stepping up, but it's still, there's some uncertainty in the net in Calgary, just like in Arizona. But you know what the thing is, I think both teams have goaltenders that can win games for them, and that's what's important. Now let's talk a little bit about the Flames and Coyotes, and they meet this Saturday afternoon in the desert. And the last meeting was November 5th in Calgary, where Calgary roared back to a 4-3 overtime victory. This was had to be a disappointing loss if you're a Coyotes fan.
Yeah, I mean, any of those games where there's four in a row there where the Coyotes had gained a nice substantial lead, and then they came back and basically blew it. So any of those games were really pretty rough for the Coyotes and was rough for any of us as fans viewing it as well, because of that. It just is disappointing that such a strong team could not get through complete 60 minutes of hockey. And they are really good at grinding games out and being able to come from being underdogs and coming back up. So it was really disappointing to kind of see that they weren't able to go from the opposite direction. They weren't able to start high and keep that same energy. They seemed to kind of get a little bit lazy and a little bit too overly confident. And that was definitely one of their issues in that whole four-game streak there, which I think was basically their lowest point. But like we kind of said before in one of our other podcasts, was that like if there was a time to figure this out and to definitely realize that they needed to fix this, it would probably be now versus later. So I'm glad that if they're going to have this problem, they had it now.
Oh, definitely. You know, shots in that first matchup were 43-37. That's a lot of shots for both teams. And it just seems like every time Calgary and Arizona meet up, it turns into kind of a run and gun shootout style game. Is that something that Arizona likes to play, or is that something that I guess, does that scare you that they tend to be run and gun games?
No, because it's a big change from what the kind of team they have been in the past, where they've played kind of more of a lockdown style of defense. But I think as Rick Tocchet has really evolved as a coach, I think the Coyotes have become a team where they beat teams with their speed. And they beat teams because of their relentless forecheck, and that's what they're doing this year. I was looking it up a couple of days ago. I don't have the most recent stats in front of me, but they're over 50% in terms of their Corsi 4 percentage, which they haven't been in the past, you know, decade, that they basically since 2012. Even under Dave Tippett, they were still a team that wasn't a very good possession team. So I think now more than ever, they're a team that, you know, likes to play with the puck, likes to have the puck in their offensive zone. And then that's how they beat teams. And they were beating Calgary for the most part in that game. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, like I mentioned earlier, you know, it was the special teams that lost them that hockey game. And, you know, the Coyotes again 0-for-5 on the power play in that last game. And the Flames 2-of-6 on the power play in that game. And that was your difference right there. Barrett Hayton hasn't really seen the lineup. The rookie forward this year looking really good, but he hasn't played since he took a couple bad penalties, and he took that late penalty in that Calgary game that ended up essentially tying the game up and sending it to overtime. So, but I mean, I love it. First of all, it's fun hockey to watch. And my favorite thing is that last Calgary game came after the night after they played against Edmonton. And then it came out that game was the same day where Mark Spector from, you know, an Edmonton Oilers writer called the Arizona Coyotes boring hockey to watch. And then they come out and it's a 4-3 game and there's 80 shots on net in one game.
80 shots, and it just seems like every time we play each other, it's fun, it's entertaining, and it's usually, you know, pretty close games. Now, John Chyka just signed a long-term extension with you guys. With, I don't want to say that, I mean, you guys have kind of been back and forth, playoffs, not playoffs, but really probably haven't met the expectations over the last 5 years. How did you feel about the re-signing, or did that surprise you at all?
Oh, not even remotely. I've kind of mentioned before that Chyka, to me, is almost like a robot. He himself is supernatural. He is something that I have never really seen. We always kind of said that he was the future of GMs in hockey, basically a lot more analytical and a lot more statistical on everything, but he is on another level. The way that his brain works does not make sense to any other human on this planet except for maybe his wife. I do not understand the way his brain works, but it has some stroke of genius in it that somehow he takes these big risks that everyone thinks is such a bad idea, and somehow he finds a way to make them pay. And so I don't think that anyone is too surprised by this and the fact that he kind of works a long game and not a short game. So the things that he's been doing, he's slowly been trying to work those in there and trying to get rid of some of the stuff that Don Maloney did at the very end of his time here. So I think now that you're starting to see it all being completely Chyka, you're starting to really see the payoff of all the things he's been building over the past few years.
Your expectations for this year. Now, it seems like you guys have been on the rise, and obviously this year, boy, your place in the standings proves that. What are expectations? At what point are you guys going to be like, yes, that was a successful season?
That's kind of I think as the season goes along, expectations are going to change. Now, before the season, I thought I had them making the playoffs. I had them finishing third in the Pacific behind Vegas and Calgary, and I had the Coyotes sneaking into third in the division with San Jose, falling. And we've seen the reason why this year, because their goaltending is absolute garbage.
Yeah.
And so I think the Coyotes, like you mentioned earlier, Brad, second place in the Pacific, right there behind the Edmonton Oilers with a game in hand as of when we're recording here on Wednesday. And I think, look, Darcy Kuemper, if he continues to perform like he can, there's no reason this team can't win a playoff series. And I think at some point, if the team continues to show that they are that they're in a good position to make the playoffs like they are right now, I think our expectations need to change. And they did last year at the end of the year, where my expectations changed, where when they didn't make the playoffs and they missed it by 4 points, I felt like they pissed it away, and I felt like I was pissed that they basically blew it down the stretch. That was 110% on them. And I think this year, especially if we get past the midway point of the season and they're still in a good position to make the playoffs, I think our expectations need to change from just making the playoffs to they need to win a series at least. And whether that's, you know, right now they'd be playing the Vancouver Canucks in the first round of the playoffs. And I think that's a fun matchup for the Coyotes. But I think that's where I'm at right now. Is right now this team is good enough with their goaltending, with their defense, to contend for at least one series win in the postseason right now.
Yeah, this Pacific Division's got me shaking my head this year. I'm not really sure what to make of it. I'm really surprised San Jose is as low as they are. LA is where I expected, but Vegas has seemed to. Somewhat taken a step back, and it's really jumbled it up with Vancouver moving up, and Edmonton's definitely a surprise. It's going to be really fun to see how this all shakes out, and if Arizona keeps playing like they are, you guys have a bright future ahead of you. What is the fan excitement level in Arizona like? You guys have been have been beaten down in the media of because of your attendance and things like that. And where do you see excitement levels, especially when you look in the standings and people open up the papers and see that their team is in second place? Do you feel like the excitement level is on the rise in Arizona?
Oh yeah, completely. The attendance levels are the highest that they've been since 2008. And since Kessel came, ticket sales were also through the roof. And then Alex Murillo, the new ownership, has also been helping out a ton. He's been, you know, integrating a lot of new marketing ideas, including like a Hispanic themed night and stuff like that, and a few Spanish shirts and stuff as well, which other teams in the state have done. So it's kind of nice to see the Coyotes finally get on that wagon there. So I think that this is basically only the beginning, because it's been growing for so long and we're finally starting to reap the benefits of it. And that hockey in Arizona as it is just going to continue to grow, and that it's going to really be our biggest thing that we've always had has been the whiteouts, which always come during playoffs. But I think that from here on out, it's going to slowly start becoming like a whiteout for every game, which is nice because we've been waiting for this for a really long time. But I kind of wanted to ask you a question about fandom on something, because it was something that was bothering me through the game. How often do the fans bring in air horns throughout the entire game? Because that was driving me nuts just watching it on the broadcast.
You see a lot of air horns in Calgary, don't you? You do. You see quite a few. There's a couple other rinks where you see them too, Vancouver. But yeah, I agree with you. You do see more in Calgary than you do most other rinks.
Yeah, I just thought that was an interesting thing to be hearing. And they did not stop. I mean, I have to give them props in the fact that there was a lot of energy coming from the air horn person.
I never thought of that until you brought it up. You know, you just kind of, you hear things and you just become immune to them. But yeah, you're right. That's an interesting one. It's better on Saturday night when Calgary played St. Louis. The organist was playing Gloria, which kind of blew my mind, but I guess those things happen. Should be a fun game Saturday. I appreciate you guys joining me here on the show, and I always look forward to some good Saturday night battles, and Arizona-Calgary on Saturday should be a good run-and-gun affair.
Saturday matinee hockey this time.
Yeah, that's right. It is. Yeah, it's going to be really early.
2 o'clock here in Phoenix.
Yeah, it should be a good time. Thanks so much for joining me, guys.
NHL news, opinions, and controversy.
Hey, Flames fans, I'll take a little look down to the AHL and take a look at Stockton, our farm club. I haven't done that yet on the podcast and plan to do it, you know, probably about once a month. We usually have so much Flames stuff to talk about, but I just wanted to touch on it quickly today because Stockton's been really, really good. They're currently 8-2-1, 13 games played, 19 points, one back of division leader Tucson. Some players playing really good. Stockton's got a 7-game point streak going. Got snapped on Saturday night. But man, that's a pretty good run for the Heat. They've earned at least a point in 4 consecutive starts that John Gillies has been in net. And wow, this surprises me because I don't know, maybe I'm hard on him, but I thought he was pretty much done. Now, I don't know if we're talking to John Gillies that can come back up to the NHL, and quite honestly, right now, it's not even a factor because we don't need him right now. But 4 consecutive games where John Gillies has put up a point, or got the Heat a point, pretty good. Glenn Godden, I like this guy. He's taken over the scoring lead. Actually, has not taken over the scoring lead because Phillips just passed him. But he had a 3-point night on Saturday night. Right now, he sits with 13 points, 4 goals, 9 assists. Phillips leads the team with 5 goals, 10 assists for 15 points. Dylan Dubé, a guy we think we will see in the NHL sooner rather than later. Not too bad of a start either. 4 goals, 8 assists, 12 points. On the back end, this has been the really bright spot. Buddy Robinson, 8 goals, 4 assists, 12 points, leads all defensemen. Davidson, who was just recently called up to Calgary, 2 goals, 8 assists, 10 points. That is a lot of points from the back end. We talked about Gillies. Here is his stats. 6 games, he's 3-1-2, 2.34 save percentage, or goals against average, excuse me, and a 91.1 save percentage. Now, Zagalun was another guy that we were pretty high on during prospects, especially a little bit during training camp. I thought he looked really good. I thought he looked really, really good. 8 games played, he's 5-1-1. But here's the shocker, fans. 5 wins, 1 loss, 1 tie. 3.70 goals against average, pretty high. And a low 87.4% save percentage. We'll check on Stockton about once a month, and I want to see how his year progresses and how his stats change. I got high hopes for that goaltender. I don't know. Stockton's off to a great, great start, and it is fun to see them doing so well. Let's take a little look around Flames news. No call-ups, no send-downs, and thank goodness, really no injuries to discuss too much. Let's talk a little bit about lines. Dallas game. A little surprise with some of the lines, but you know what? In agreement with most of them, let's talk on the back end first. Giordano, Hamonic, Hanifin, Anderson, Brody Stone. But we did notice in the third period that things switched back. We saw Anderson move up with Giordano, Brody and Stone stayed the same, and Hanifin and Hamonic were back together, reunited. Gaudreau, Monahan, Lindholm started on the first line. Mascheripane, Backlund, Tkachuk on the second. Bennett, Ryan, and Frolik on the third. Lucic, Jankowski, and Reeder on the fourth line. First line stayed the same. In the middle of the second period, we saw Frolik bump up back to the 3M line. So we had Frolik, Backlund, Tkachuk. Mascheripane drops down with Bennett, Ryan, and Lucic, Jankowski, Reeder stayed the same. Here's my 2 cents on this. Last year, we had a very successful year. Now, I know a lot of players had, you know, career bests. But we saw enough last year to know that the Gaudreau, Monahan, Lindholm line works. We also know, as much as we get upset with Frolik, that him on a line with Backlund and Tkachuk works. It's proven it works. Now, we saw Mascheripane fall back to the Bennett-Ryan line, and I actually like that line when Mascheripane's on it. I think it gives us a lot more depth through the top three lines. Now, we also saw Giordano and Anderson paired up, and we saw Hamonic and Hanifin, who have been a partner since Hamonic and both of them joined the team. It works. Look where it got us last year. Now, I know we failed in the playoffs, but the lines weren't the problem. It was production in the playoffs. I don't think we could have switched the lines up in the first round of the playoffs and won. I don't think that's the problem. But one thing I'm starting to worry a little bit about is Peter's messing with these lines so much. We know the top six works. Let it be. I'm good with Mascheripane, Bennett, and Ryan. I think that's a good line. Let it be. Let the defensive pairings be. Sub in Shillington for Brody and Stone. But we got to be a little smarter on the power play and on those, what they call, you know, special push shifts after a power play or after a penalty kill where you're sending out Lucic. I don't get it. I don't understand. I do not understand why Lucic is on the second power play. I don't understand it. I need one of the listeners to tweet me, send me an email. Let me know why. Why is this working? He's not bringing anything to the table there. Now, I don't mind Lucic on the fourth line, but that's where he needs to be. And only in games where we need that factor. And having him out there, like, after a power play or after a penalty kill, it hasn't worked one damn time all year. Not one time. Can't keep going back to something that just doesn't work. We need to figure it out, and we need to leave lines alone.
Every team, everywhere. The Hockey Podcast Network.
The Hockey Podcast Network and Flames Unfiltered is also excited to announce a partnership with Gong Show Hockey Apparel. Check out the Hockey Podcast Network's Twitter page for giveaways from Gong Show Hockey Apparel, and check out their website, Gong Show Hockey Apparel, all kinds of great stuff for the hockey fans. Let's take a trip around the National Hockey League now. talk about some other things other than the Calgary Flames quickly. Then we'll get on to a fan question and preview this weekend's games. Cale Makar, wow. This guy has been on fire. Colorado's rookie has registered his second multi-point outing in as many games and become the fourth defenseman in NHL history to collect at least 17 points to his first 17 regular season contests. Whew. The 21-year-old is set to be a front runner currently for the Calder Trophy. And we saw him last year in the playoffs right when they got going, and he was definitely a force to deal with. I look for him to continue this success. He looks composed out there. We're going to get to see him here next week. Other news from the Pacific Division also is Kovalchuk out in L.A. According to Elliot Friedman, reports are that he is welcome to practice with the team but will not be dressing and will be out of the lineup for the foreseeable future. Now, things have been fairly quiet in L.A. I did hear some rumblings, though, this evening. It sounds like L.A. is working a way to release him. Now, it'll be a touchy topic with the NHLPA because of payment. He's owed this money. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. But it looks, as of now, that Kovalchuk has played his last game in L.A. This will be interesting. LA looks like they're finally accepting the fact that it's time to move on from the old guys. Time to infuse some young talent. Now, November is Hockey Fights Cancer Month. I really, really encourage everybody to get out and make your donation on NHL.com or go to InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com, click on the Hockey Fights Cancer banner, and make your donation. Every little dollar helps. Cancer has affected so, so many people. Please consider donating. Let's roll on to the fan question. It's kind of a poll I posed today. And an interesting one. Now, kind of got thrown off because I thought all signs pointed to Ritta getting the start today, but early this morning it was announced that Talbot was going to be in the net. So I thought, well, if Talbot's going to be in the net, where are we going to go this weekend? Now, the talk has been that we need to manage the workload of goaltender David Rittich. He has been very good for the Flames this year, and on many occasions, like I mentioned earlier on in the show, Talbot and him have been hung out to dry and not gotten offensive support they need and deserve to win hockey games. So where do we go this weekend? Two games back-to-back, Arizona on Saturday afternoon, Vegas on Sunday early evening. Now, here's the answers that I posed. I put Rittich in Arizona and in Vegas gets both the starts. Talbot in Arizona and in Vegas, he gets both the starts. Then I put Rittich in Arizona, Talbot in Vegas, and then I put Talbot in Arizona, Rittich in Vegas. Now, let's start at the top, the lowest one that received it. 3% of the people think Talbot should get both starts. I agree, shouldn't get both starts. 5% thought Rittich will get both of them. I don't think they're going to give on a back-to-back. I don't think that's going to happen. Not unless maybe a shutout is pitched on Saturday, but I honestly still don't even think that would happen. Now, 9% of the people thought Rittich would get Arizona and Talbot would get Vegas. But a whopping 82% of the listeners think Talbot will get the start in Arizona and he'll have back-to-back games, not day after day, but back-to-back starts, and Rittich will get Vegas. Now, I thought about this a lot, and I think, you know, okay, Talbot played tonight. I think my thought is Rittich gets Arizona, and you go back to Talbot in Vegas, and there's a couple reasons. Number one, Rittich really has thrown one stinker this year, and it was in Vegas. Vegas is a tough place to play. Talbot hasn't had the chance in Vegas this year. Now, Calgary's never won in Vegas. I think you went Talbot on tonight, which is Thursday night, or Wednesday night, excuse me. I think you go Rittich in Arizona, and no matter what, you go Talbot in Vegas. Fresh blood in the Vegas game. It'll be interesting. A big thanks to Flames Hub, a Facebook page for the Calgary Flames. Go on there, join that club. It is great to talk hockey with them. That's where I did this poll. They're nice enough to let me do these polls on there, and I truly appreciate that. Game previews for the weekend. Two big, big games. 4 points on the line. We need both of them on this short, condensed road trip, which features a back-to-back. Arizona on Saturday afternoon, an odd afternoon game. And I hate afternoon games, but you know what? You don't get to always pick those. So we got to go down to the desert and take on the Arizona Coyotes, who right now currently sit in second place in the Pacific Division, just 2 points back of the leading Edmonton Oilers. This is a team that earlier in the year, and we talked about it earlier with Corey and Richie about the overtime win and come from behind. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how this goes. Oftentimes, it is run and gun. On Sunday, the Calgary Flames go to T-Mobile in Vegas. I was there last time that the Flames were there, and it was not a good night at the T-Mobile as Calgary lost that one 6-2, and they look to avenge that loss to a Vegas team that has been struggling as of late, who is actually currently losing as we speak to the Chicago Blackhawks. Actually, is one final now, 5-3. Chicago did win that. They have been on the struggle bus a little bit. Lost earlier. They've lost two in a row to Detroit and Chicago. It's actually three in a row. Include four in a row. Toronto, Washington, Detroit, and Chicago. Four in a row losses for Vegas. Next up for them is Saturday afternoon. They've got the Los Angeles Kings, and then followed by the next day back home. That'll be a tough one back to back for both teams. And that Vegas has been struggling lately, and your Calgary Flames have been struggling lately. And I am tired of saying that. I thought so much that we'd be on the back on the winning ways tonight. 3-1 loss in Dallas tonight. Thanks so much for listening to episode 14 of Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood. Check back on Monday morning for another episode as we recap this weekend's exciting Flames action. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey. Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.